I think I'll just keep sitting and we'll keep singing today. You didn't have to clap to that. You know, the Spirit definitely moving today through the worship. If you're not feeling that Spirit, have somebody pinch you. Thank you, Cooper. There's two things I want to mention before I get to preaching. The IF conference is just next weekend. And I know Amy and others are really looking forward to that. Ladies, I really encourage you to sign up and go and be a part of that. Over at First Baptist in Nevada, we're joining hands with them. And it will be a great blessing for you if you'll do that. And if you need more information, talk to Amy. Raise your hand, Amy. If you don't know Amy Hertzberg, she can tell you about it. And I think you sign up online. Is that right? And if you don't have the know-how to do that, talk to her and she can help you with that as well. Okay? The other thing I wanted to mention to you is the vision night for Good News Productions. If you are familiar with Good News Productions, then you'll know this is going to be a special night. And this place does work all over the world for Jesus. And your dollars that you put in the offering plate are helping that work to happen. And on March 7th, which is a Thursday night, I know a Thursday night is not the best night to get a big crowd out, but I am confident in Reinhardt that so many of you will come out on a Thursday night. We are hosting this here, and we are inviting other churches in the area to come and hear what Good News Productions is doing in the Lord's kingdom. And with us being the host church, I plead with you, please come. And let us give a good welcome to visitors that are here that night from our sister churches around the area. And it'll be worth your coming out on a Thursday evening. 6:30 refreshments in the gym, 7 o'clock service time here in the auditorium. That's a Thursday night, March 7th. And I, again, ask you to put that on your calendar and come that evening. I don't know if you heard about the fella who every week took $100 out of his paycheck and he put that under his mattress. And over a period of several years, he became rather attached to that nest egg that he was building under his mattress. And then one day he got terribly sick. And he was about to die, and as he was dying, he took hold of his wife's hand, and he said to her, "I want you to promise me one thing, that you would take all of my money out from underneath the mattress, and I want you to put it in the casket, and I can take it with me where I go." And the wife assured him that she would do that. He did die. And she did keep her promise to him. She went, she gathered all of his money from underneath the mattress, she put it in the bank, and she wrote him a check and put it right there in his casket. She got him. She got him. And I want to ask you, what is it that you are setting your heart on? You know, we sang a song about that. I'm amazed this morning, Tim. The Spirit of God was working through you all this week with the songs that we have sung today, because so many of them just flow right into the message today. We sang a song about setting our heart on the desire of Jesus. And I want to ask you, what are you setting your heart on? I mean, some people set their heart on money and they build their little nest egg and they think that money is going to bring to them security and satisfaction And yet, as time goes on, they discover that there really is no security and satisfaction in money, because you always need $1 more. And those dollars that we do have can be snatched away from us so fast. Some people set their heart on accumulating more things. If we just get the right kinds of things and have enough things, then surely those things will bring satisfaction. And that's a dead-end road too. Things do not satisfy. And still other people are searching. They're trying to find happiness and security in the right relationship. If I can just find the right person, then I can find satisfaction in that person. But that's not where fulfillment is either. Yes, it's wonderful to have the right person to love and to enjoy and spend our life together with that person. But if we're looking for fulfillment in another person, we're going to be disappointed. And so the search goes on and on. But I want to challenge you to set your heart on Jesus. In Jesus alone do we find satisfaction and fulfillment. It's in Jesus alone that we find true life. 1 John 5:12 says, "He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life." John 10:10 says, Jesus is speaking. He says, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." The New International Version says it this way, "that you might have life to the full." I mean, we're all looking for life to the full, aren't we? We all want to have abundant life and satisfaction in our life. If those are the things that we are looking for, we need to look to Jesus, because that's where those things are found. He's the source of life here and life everlasting. As I talk to you about what we are setting our heart on, could I encourage you to guard your heart? There's a simple truth in Matthew 15 that all of us need to be aware of, and the truth is this: what we feed into our heart determines the kind of person that we become. Let that sink into your mind for a moment. What you feed into your heart will determine the kind of person that you become. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 15, verses 17 through 20. Jesus is talking here. He says, "Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." This discussion between Jesus and Peter stems from some interaction that Jesus and the Pharisees have had earlier in this chapter. The Pharisees were all bent out of shape because Jesus wasn't holding to their traditions. He wasn't washing his hands properly before he ate bread. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus was being unsanitary before he ate. It just simply means that he wasn't washing his hands the way the Pharisees thought he should wash his hands. I read in one source that the proper way to wash your hands, according to the Pharisees, so that you could be ceremonially clean, was that somebody had to pour water over your hands while your fingertips were held up. So I don't know if it's like this, but fingertips have to be held up, and somebody's pouring water over your hands running down your hand, down your forearm to your elbows, and dropping off onto the ground. And then more water has to be poured over your hands while your fingertips are held down. And so the water's poured onto your hand, run down your hand, down the tips of your fingers, and onto the ground. That's the way that, according to the Pharisees, that you had to have your hands washed to be ceremonially clean. And it sounds to me like quite an ordeal for someone to go through that. And apparently Jesus thought it sounded silly too, because Jesus didn't do it that way. And that really ticked the Pharisees off. And it's so amazing to me that the Pharisees got riled up over the inconsequential, and they didn't get excited at all over the miracles that Jesus had been doing. Think about it. He's healing the sick. He's casting out demons. He's raising the lame to walk. He has just fed 5,000 people with a small boy's lunch, and the Pharisees are completely unmoved by these things. It's like they had blinders on. And really, they did have blinders on, spiritual blinders. They were blinded by their traditions and their rituals. It's sad to think about what they missed. They had the Son of God right in front of them doing miracles, and they failed to see it. And we should learn from their mistakes. May we have our eyes open to the good that God is doing all around us. May we see the lives that are being changed. May we sense the excitement that is going on in the Lord's church. May we understand the good gifts that He has given to us. May we put our eyes upon the mercy of God and the grace that He is pouring out upon us. He really is a good, good Father, isn't He? And we need to recognize all of those wonderful gifts that He bestows upon us. Well, Pharisees weren't seeing any of that. They're upset with Jesus. And it's getting crunch time for Jesus. He had 1 year left in His life and in His ministry, and there's so much still that He needs to teach His disciples. One of those teachings is right here in Matthew 15, where He is saying to them, guard your heart, because what goes into your heart will come out. You see, the Jewish mindset was more about guarding what you eat, what goes into the stomach, making sure that what you eat is clean food by their estimation. And Jesus says no to that. He says, don't worry so much about what you eat, because what you eat goes into your stomach, and that then is eliminated. But what you really should be concerned about is what goes into your heart, because what goes into your heart determines the kind of person you become. If you feed your heart with vile things, then you become a vile person, full of murder and adulteries and fornication and slander and deceit and all of that kind of stuff. On the other hand, Jesus says, if you feed your heart with that which is good, then you will become a good person. So for a few moments this morning, let's go a little bit deeper and let's see what we should be careful about in guarding our heart from, and what we should be feeding our heart with. Okay? First of all, what should we guard our heart from? And basically, we need to guard our hearts from the world's message to us. I'm not going to stand up here and say to you, you shouldn't be watching TV. You shouldn't be going to the movies, and you shouldn't be listening to the radio. You know, if I said all of that, to you, I would be the biggest hypocrite in the house because I do all of those things. I watch TV, I go to the movies, listen to the radio. But what I want to say to you is, let's be mindful of what kind of message is coming into our mind and into our heart through those different means. And maybe we need to guard. Maybe we need to be careful of what that message is. If it's a message of smut and filth, then we need to filter the message. We need to shut the TV off or change the channel that we're watching if indeed it's feeding into our minds smut and filth. And same thing with songs. If we're listening to smut and filth, then let's change the channel that we're listening to on the radio, or let's get a new set of songs to listen to. And those movies that we're going to, if they're promoting a living kind of life different from what the Holy Spirit promotes, then maybe we should eliminate those kinds of movies from our life. What we feed into our heart will determine the kind of person that we become. And this is a truth that goes way back, even as far as Solomon. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Here's my suggestion to you today as we talk about guarding our heart. Could I suggest to you that you let the Holy Spirit stand guard over the doorway of your heart? Think about that. Let the Holy Spirit stand guard over the doorway of your heart. If we would give the Holy Spirit the right to guard our heart, then for sure He would know the right things to let into our heart and what are the wrong things to keep out. And it would then be our responsibility to listen to His prompting. Back in the fall of this last year, I ordered a couple of things off of the internet from a tool warehouse. And I got a good deal on the things that I ordered, but I'm wondering the worth of it all in the long run. Ever since I'd made that order, my email has been overrun with invitations to smut. And I'm thinking this warehouse sold my email address to everybody and their mama out there that wanted it, and some of who they sold it to doesn't look very reputable. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. There is so much junk out there on the web, and it's so accessible to us. We must guard our hearts. And if we would let the Holy Spirit stand guard over the doorway of our heart, it would be a very wise move on our part. For when I get on my email day after day and look and see what's there, I see a lot of smut there all of a sudden. And it's inviting me. It's inviting me to click on and see what that gets. It's like she's saying, come on, open me up and I'll show you what I've got. That's what she's saying. And you know what the Holy Spirit is saying? He's saying, no! No! That's not for you. And so, I hear Him shouting to me. And I click the right button, and those emails are gone, and the Holy Spirit is a very good guard if we will listen to Him. I read an article recently. They were talking about the excess of pornography on the internet and these chat lines that are out there. The article said this is where so many of the child abductions come from, these kids, these minors, get on these chat lines. And it's not just little kids. It can be teenage kids. They get on these chat lines, not knowing the danger of who they're talking to. And what starts out to be an innocent chat turns out to be a tragedy. And the parents never know about it because it's happening behind closed doors at night in the bedroom. The author cautioned parents not to let their kids have their cell phones in their bedroom at night. And I thought, you know, that's pretty good advice. And if you're a young person and your parent already has that kind of restriction, then understand it's for your good. And if there's not that kind of restriction, I would encourage you to consider making that kind of a restriction and having a family meeting and sitting down and saying, hey, there's a lot of junk out there, and it's not only, kids, it's not only my responsibility to guard my own heart, but it's also a God-given responsibility that I help guard your heart. And this is one of the things that we're going to start. Cindy and I were talking about this about a week ago. When our kids were at home, we had a family computer. It was a desktop computer at the time, and it was in our family room where there were plenty of eyes nearby, and there was accountability in that. I'm wondering, what kind of accountability do you have in your home, not just with the computer, but with the cell phone usage? I'm not telling you how to parent today, but one thing I do know, and that is this: we need to help guard our children's hearts, because Satan is a master at deception, and he's out to get our children and our grandchildren too. So, guard your heart of what goes in, because what goes in comes out. It determines the kind of person that you become. So we've talked about guarding our heart. What about this second part to the sermon? What do we need to feed into our heart? And I bet you can easily guess the first answer to this question. We need to feed into our hearts the Word of God. And by the way, I want to ask you, how are you doing with the next step that so many of you committed yourself to last fall? So many of you said, I want to take the next step towards Jesus, towards growing in Christ. And that next step for me is going to be getting into the Word of God on a regular basis. Some of you said, I want to take the next step towards Christ by getting into a Sunday school class. Some of you said, I want to take the next step towards Christ and growing in Jesus by memorizing some scriptures. All of these are ways in which we feed our mind and our heart with the Word of God. I hope you're doing well with your commitments there. And praise God if you are. If you're not, there's no better day to start than today to get back on target there and get in going in the right direction and taking that next step towards Christ. Just as it's true, if we put garbage into our heart, there will be garbage come out. So too, it is true. If we put the Word of God into our heart, then the Word of God is what will start coming out of us. I did a funeral for a lady 2 weeks ago whose name was Anna. And as I visited with her two daughters, I realized all the more what a spiritual legacy Anna had left to her children. When I was ministering in Fort Scott, I used to visit Anna periodically, and I knew from those times that I had been with her that she was a very godly woman. I knew that she was a prayer warrior for sure. But I didn't know until after her death, and when I was visiting with her daughters, what kind of a student of the Word of God she was. And they were telling me, I knew she knew the Word because it came out of her. But they were giving me some details that I didn't get from Anna. They said she read through the Word every year, read the whole Bible through every year. And they were talking about her Bible. One of the girls had it, and she said, it's worn, it's worn out. And Anna marked in her Bible, she highlighted verses that were popping out to her that God was using to speak to her. She would highlight those verses, and she would write notes in the margin. Some of those notes were from sermons that she would hear, but some of those notes, too, were just from her own personal study. As God was speaking to her through His Word, she's writing those thoughts, those impressions in the margin of her Bible. Her children said if they had a time of stress in their life, they would call their mom, tell her what's going on in their life, and her mom, their mom, Anna, would then in turn give them a verse that was very applicable to what they were going through in their life. And she knew the Bible that well. One of Anna's favorite verses was Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, where it says, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. I read that at her funeral, and I'm thinking, what a great verse to leave to your family. We need that kind of truth impressed upon us. Because we all go through struggles and we have stress, and we need to know that God is with us and He will never forsake us. And you know how you get those nuggets of truth into your heart and mind? You feed yourself with the Word of God. That's how the Word gets inside of you. And then it comes out. I remember back to December of 1986, and I've probably told you this story before, but it's one of those benchmarks in my life. I'll never forget this, and it was a change for me. It was literally a benchmark for me. In 1986, December, our son Jonathan was in the hospital, and we had been told that he needed surgery on his aorta or artery. The doctor he was just to the point. He let us know that he wasn't sure if Jonathan would even make it to the surgery date. He was that serious. He was already in congestive heart failure. They needed to remove quite a bit of fluid from his body before they could do the surgery. That's why they weren't doing the surgery immediately. They had to get the fluid off of his body first, and that was going to take some time. He's just 4.5 months old at this time. And our hearts were torn, as you could well imagine. Cindy stayed at the hospital that first night. I went home to get some clothes for both of us. We were about 90 miles from the hospital and had not come prepared to stay for any length of time at all. We didn't expect to have to stay. We did not expect this kind of diagnosis for our little baby boy. And so I'm home by myself that first night, and I was a wreck emotionally and mentally. All I could do was toss in the bed. And I think probably to this day, it's the worst night of unrest and anxiety that I've ever had in my whole life. And some point in the middle of that night and in the middle of that unrest, God gave me a scripture that I had memorized as a little kid, probably in church camp. I was probably fourth or fifth grade. In church camp or vacation Bible school, they had as a memory verse Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. And at Some point in the middle of the night, God gave me that verse. He brought it to my memory. I had fed myself with that verse years earlier, and now it's what was coming out of me at this point in my life. And as that verse was quoted over and over and over again in the night in my mind, God's peace came upon me like a warm blanket. He covered me with his peace and gave me calm amidst the storm. And I went to the hospital the next morning. As I got there, it wasn't long before Cindy said, Hey, I want to show you a verse that God gave to me in the night. I said, yeah. And she showed me Psalms 32, verse 7, and it goes like this. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. And God had given her that verse, and it brought peace to her and deliverance to her, like the Proverbs passage had done for me in the middle of the night. And though we were in the middle of a storm, that God wasn't going to remove the storm, but he chose to give us peace amidst the storm through his word that we had earlier fed into our hearts and minds. What you feed into your mind and into your heart is what will come out. Jeremiah 15, 16 says, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. If you will eat these words, if you will devour this truth into your hearts, then God will help you and minister to you. He will grow you. He will sharpen you. He will give you his peace and his joy. He will help you to become wise. James 1:21 says, if we will humbly receive the word of God into our heart, it will save our soul. Feed your heart with his truth, and the truth will come out of you. Do you hear that? Feed your heart with his truth, and the truth will come out of you. What is it that you're feeding your heart with? That will determine who you become. There's so many other ways that we can feed his truth into our heart. What you are listening to as you're driving down the road, as you're in the tractor, as you're in the shop working, as you're just going through your day, what is it that you are feeding your heart with? Why not listen to worship music, Christian radio? Why not listen to a sermon that is being preached? And feed your heart with the Word of God. And it's the truth that will come out of your heart and out of your mouth. Cindy and I watched a movie a few nights ago. I guess it's probably been 2 weeks ago. It was called Unbroken 2. How many of you have seen that movie? I highly recommend it. It's a movie that looks like hardly any of you have watched. And there's two movies, Unbroken and Unbroken 2. I recommend both of them to you. Both movies reveal the amazing story of Louis Zamperini. He was an Olympic runner and later the war hero from World War II. His plane went down into the Pacific Ocean and he was in a raft for 47 days on the ocean before he was picked up by a Japanese warship, which landed him in a prison camp until the end of the war. And in that prison camp, and there is some brutality in this first movie, in that prison camp, he was brutally mistreated by the commanding officer there. The commanding officer wanted to break him. He would not be broken. He would not be broken. And after the war, he returned home, but he was haunted by his memories in the concentration camp. He had a terrible case of PTSD, probably before anybody even knew what that was. And it led him into a terrible stretch in his life. This is the second part of the movie, the sequel, Unbroken Chapter Part 2. And this stretch is a terrible stretch in his life where he gets into drinking, and he's just becomes a drunk, and his marriage is about done, and he can't find a job, and he's enslaved by his past memories. Do you know what saved him? Right here, this book. The truth of this book saved him. And the Savior of this book saved him. He attended a Billy Graham crusade, and the Word of God reached down into his dark soul and saved him from that pit of despair. And later, he would start his own ministry to delinquent boys in Los Angeles. And in 1950, he made a trip back to Japan. And this is the emotional part of the movie that you just can't help but shed a tear. He makes a trip back to Japan, and he visits a prison where the Japanese soldiers were being held as prisoners for their war crimes against American soldiers. And it was there that Zamperini offered forgiveness to them. How in the world can that kind of mercy and grace be offered? It's possible when we get the Word of God into our heart and the Savior whom we read about into this book, in this book, gets a hold of us. This book can change us when we feed it into our heart. And so I'm asking you, what's coming out of your heart? Because what goes in comes out. Would you guard your heart? Would you invite the Holy Spirit to come and be the guard of the doorway of your heart? And would you feed your heart with His truth? Let's pray. Help us, Holy Father, to guard our heart and to feed our heart. We need you. The world is desperately trying to persuade us of a particular mindset. And we will be swooped by that mindset if we're not doing something proactive. And so help us, please. Help us to take this message today seriously. In Jesus' name, amen.